Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Celtic Down Under podcast. I'm your host, John. Your regular host, Jared, is taking a well-deserved break. This week, I'm joined by Sean. How are you doing, Sean?
Yeah, good. Now that Jared's not here, we can swear and all kinds of crazy things. Should we be racist and all that?
Yeah. Let's talk about Melbourne and how shit it is and all that. Yeah.
There was a NFL coach resigned today or yesterday, depending on your time zone, because it came out that he was a big racist. And
oh, right. There you go.
He was on a 10-year contract as well, and that's him.
Had to resign. Yeah. Well, good that he got caught and then get booted, I guess.
Yep. Exactly. One less.
Yeah. Racist around.
I mean, he'll probably get a job at Ross County. That's the Scottish Performance Director. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, 100%. Or the other side of Glasgow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll do all the intro stuff that we normally do. If you would like to subscribe to our podcast, that would help us out greatly via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your streaming services. Please leave a review and, of course, 5 stars, which is obviously the only stars you would give us, right? That's the minimum we require. or any sort of reviews, comments on our Facebook groups, anything like that is greatly appreciated. This week, we're kind of going to be talking about some of the Celtic players that have been playing in the internationals. We've kind of split it up into some logical groups. We've got some of the players that didn't actually start. We've got some of the under 21s and then some of our more regulars. So, Sean, I'll let you sort of kick off with the international discussion stuff.
Yep. I had Juranovic, Forrest and Taylor omitted due to injury, which is notable because if you add Julian into the mix, they could be coming back after this break. Then we had Carl Starfelt, who was called up for Sweden. Didn't make the bench for either game. Albin Ayeti, who was an unused sub in both games for Switzerland. And Liam Scales, who was also called up for the first time for the Republic of Ireland, but also didn't make the bench for either game. So I've not written down the mileage for all of them, but Liam Scales certainly went to Azerbaijan. I'm not, just need to double check where Switzerland and Sweden went to. Switzerland went to Lithuania, and where did Sweden go? They went to, well, actually, they stayed at home, so that's not too bad. But still, flying all these players around in metal tubes with other men to not even give them a game. Sus. What do you think?
Yeah, no, no, it is sus. I think Starfelt for me is an obvious one. I think it's, for me personally, I think it's easy to jump on the bandwagon with Starfelt, to be honest. He is a bit hot and cold. But I think one of the things that's most interesting for me is when I spoke to the Swedish guys in one of the other episodes, Anders and Douglas, who are both from the exact same town that Starfelt's from, they had never heard of him. And they didn't understand why Celtic were buying him. He's not got a reputation in Sweden. So they understood that he was in and around the national squad, but Swedish people don't know who he is, haven't seen him really play. So it wasn't a surprise to me that he didn't start that game at all.
Interesting. I was happy that a Yeti got called up though, because that kind of could maybe give us a little bit on his sell, like if we're going to get rid of him. Yeah, current Swiss international, that'll be 3.5 million, please.
Yeah,
maybe 100%. Recoup most of our losses. That'd be nice. Liam Scales one was a weird one, though.
Especially, I think so.
They're putting a friendly at home to Qatar, and he didn't even make the bench.
Yeah, odd. I think, look, I can't quite remember the source, but I think there is chat around him not being fit yet, which I think has also got big question marks over that, because he's been playing quite a lot for Shamrock and stuff before he actually signed.
So maybe
he's picked up an injury, or he's just not at the level that we expected him to be yet, and that's sort of going over into internationals as well. But yeah, it's a big question marks for all of them, to be honest.
It makes me wonder about this Arsene Wenger plan about, have you heard this, having all the internationals in 1 month of the year. So rather than having like four international breaks, just have 1 month and do all your qualifiers in 1 month.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know, because like, it means if a player gets injured, well, the burden's on the national team as well, right?
True, it does, yeah. I mean, as much as like on another level, right, the internationals are kind of a break. Not really a break for the players, but kind of a break. So that's how I think about it anyway. Like a lot of these players aren't expected to do much during the internationals. I think maybe the Scottish players are a bit different there, but So a lot of them are just trying to play with different players in a different system and stuff. And I think there's a benefit to that, I guess, when it's throughout the year, sort of changing up. But I mean, logistically, surely that'd be a nightmare to do if you did every international during the same sort of month and a half.
Surely it can't be more of a nightmare than what's currently happening.
That's a very good point. Yeah, and maybe actually moving forward, when we've got stuff like COVID still kicking about, maybe it would have made more sense to have it all in one big month.
Yeah, because you could hub it and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but and the other thing I was thinking as well is like, if you're like maybe playing with an injury, and you know that 1 month break's coming up, you're like, oh, fucking magic. You know what I mean? Like, or even like, oh, I've been putting off this operation to that. You know,
no, I'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm saying that, I'm talking about non-international players, but like also, I guess if you're on the fringes of the international, you might take that opportunity as well.
Or even not, because remember, it wasn't very long ago when Andy Robertson went and got his wisdom teeth removed during internationals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So at the moment, they're doing it on a one-weeker, whereas, so like, if Tom Rogic has got a bad ankle injury, we could just be like, Tom.
Yeah. Do you want to go get it fixed?
Yeah. Do you want to do this before or after the international?
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's pros and cons, right, for this system. And I would leave it up to maybe people like Wenger who understood it a bit better.
In terms of watching it, would you, at the moment, international week just feels like, oh my God, they're so long without football. Would it be a month of getting into international football rather than what we have now? Or would it be a month of, this is the longest thing ever?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, do you know what? Maybe with like the Nations League stuff.
Yeah.
And the aim of trying to make international quote unquote friendlies more entertaining to watch and more competitive. Maybe there is an argument to say that it would almost be like having the Euros and World Cups and the likes more often. because you would just have this yearly, right, it's the international month now. Yeah. Everybody's going at it. And just everybody focuses on that for a month. Because look, I'm not being funny. If it's a month long, everybody's going to watch it. Nobody's going to give up watching football for a month, are they?
Nah, you wouldn't have thought so. Yeah. That's what I think. And I'm in favour of it for a few reasons, but there's obviously the drawbacks, you know.
Yeah. Momentum's a big one as well. Mm-hmm. You'd lose a lot of momentum in the leagues by breaking up for a month.
True story.
But yes. All right. Well, we'll move on to some of the players that actually played. So so now we have some of our boys, I guess, quote unquote boys. I'll leave you to it, Sean.
Some of the younger ones. Conor Hazard, I guess. Oh, he was in the full Northern Ireland team and also an unused sub. He technically should have been in with the previous bunch, but that's fine. Under 21s, we had Stephen Welsh, played 90 minutes. Adam Montgomery played 56 minutes on the wing. And Dane Murray was called up but didn't make the bench. Scotland lost 1-0 at home to Denmark for the under-21s. They only had one game and it was at home, so not much travel there. Not much to worry about. Probably just good minutes in the legs for the boys. And Rocco Vatta made some headlines. He scored an absolute screamer in one of his two games for Republic of Ireland under-17s. So he's making some headlines at the moment as a one for the future.
Yeah. I keep, every time I hear his name, it's normally comes with a lot of praise and positives. Definitely one for the future, I think. I think maybe he's even, oh God, I don't want to jinx this, touch word, right? He might even be like the next Dembele, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, who knows? You know, there was a lot of hype and momentum for Dembele, wasn't it, when he was about that age?
We're actually getting one in at last in the father-son rule.
Yeah, absolutely.
Missed out on the Larson and the Van Hooydonk, but we'll get Rocco Vatta.
We'll get Vatta in.
Yeah.
Well, there's still time, I guess, for Jordan Larson. Who knows?
Yeah.
And it's good to see. I'm generally really pleased to see. I mean, like Welsh, Montgomery, and even Murray are sort of just in and around Welsh more than anybody, in and around being regular first team players. So it's good that they consistently get games at the national level and stuff.
Yeah, it's minutes in the leg. And under 21 is a fair shake. You know, it's a good level.
It's a very good level, yeah. And, you know, we all know what Hazard's like. I actually quite like Conor Hazard. I think he's a good keeper. So,
yeah.
He'll come good.
He's not as good as Joe Hart, put it that way. But, yeah, I prefer him over Cabbage Hands.
Or even Scott Bain, to be honest, in my
opinion. Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
Yeah. Fair point. I'd be having him as number two. But, yeah, it's good to see the young ones getting a run out.
Yeah.
So now we'll move on to the first team players. So I'll leave you to it.
Yeah, the first team ones who played, yes.
Yes.
Callum McGregor played 90 minutes versus Israel, and then the final 22 minutes away in the Faroes. David Turnbull was on the bench twice and played 0 minutes for Scotland. And in one of those games, they were playing Israel, who near Biton played 90 minutes for against Scotland and Moldova. They did beat Moldova, which we'll talk about in a second. And Leo Labada was on the bench twice for Israel, didn't come on against Scotland, but played 16 minutes versus Moldova. So, did you watch the games? Both of them? One of them?
I watched neither, because I was really not hopeful, to be honest. And it was also stupid o'clock in the morning here in Sydney. So, yeah. I had a five. we've just come into quote unquote Freedom Day in New South Wales.
Oh, for goodness.
Yeah. So everything, all constructions immediately moved and opened up again. So I had my nice 5 a.m. starts again. So I missed them all, but I watched all the highlights and stuff. And yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, for the Israel one, that was midnight kickoff for me. So I was in this kind of no man's land of.
Do you I know, go to bed?
Yeah, like, and in the end, I was like, when it got to like 10 o'clock, I was like, I don't know, when it got to 9 o'clock, I was like, I'm not sleepy, what am I going to do? and then when it got to half 10, I was like, ah, fuck. And then it got to 11 and I was tired. I was like, you know, this is not happening. So I just texted my dad and my brother and said, don't text me, I'll watch the game in the morning. So I watched the full thing, the whole game, without knowing the score. So it was pretty exciting, really exciting game, you know, missed penalties, VAR decisions, five goals, end-to-end stuff. That Solomon for Israel looked shit hot, man. He was really good, the left winger. I checked up and he plays for Shakhtar. If Celtic could get him for less than 10 million, I would look at it, he is looks like he could be a big thing. I can't remember who it was after the game said it, but they were saying he's the best player they've ever played against. Is it Christie, maybe? Something like that. And that's Zahavi, who's at PSV. He's probably a £20 million player now, so he's way past our range, but he's shit hot too.
And we were supposed to have been going in for him at one point, and we just missed out, I think.
Yeah, probably because his agent is Neil Lennon's mate.
Yes.
What's his name?
Dudu Dan.
That's the one, yeah. And they had a few other decent players, but like as somebody pointed out, their defence is not great. They've got Nir Baton in there and whoever else.
Well, I mean, I watched the highlights, like I said, and it seemed like an absolute cracking game and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. Back and forth, good. And it's a good win, obviously. I'm glad for Scotland.
Yeah.
Baton got a lot of really positive reviews, actually. He seemed to have played really well during the Scotland game and apparently in the Moldova game as well. So,
I wasn't focusing on him too much in the Scotland game. I remember one good tackle he put in. I don't remember much else, but.
Well, I mean, it raises a question mark whether we should be using him more often, I think. If he's, you know, still got it to an extent, can we be playing him in games which might see the game out? Or if we were to bring, I mean, look, I don't want to, I know he's not been playing very well, but, you know, I don't want to pile it on or anything with Sorrow, but do we see Bitton in front of Sorrow in that sort of holding midfielder role or that, you know, midfielder role?
I thought he did well enough against Aberdeen in the last game. So I'm certainly not discounting that. And it's good to have a bit of height in there. Even though he was beaten for the set piece, at least he was challenging for it in that Aberdeen game. But another thing to think about is if you're talking about him as a defender, for Israel, he plays in a back three. So it's different from the 4-4-2.
From what we
that we play. I still don't fancy him as a defender, but look, he's testimonial next year, so we need to find a spot for him, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And he's been a great servant and stuff. I mean, look, maybe two seasons ago we would have all been content if he had moved on and stuff, and now we're in the position we haven't really got much of an option. But
was that just after he tweeted out his support for the Israeli army in Palestine, or
quite possibly, yeah.
And then his agent quickly on the phone, delete that. Do you not know who you're playing for?
do you understand who you're playing for?
Yeah.
It could also have been that it was just maybe not at, you know, not where we were at that point 2-3 years ago. But I always thought Bitton was a good player. I think he is definitely hot and cold, but I mean, that's kind of what else do we have at this point? I'll be playing him more often, I think.
Yeah, that is exactly what you're saying. He's hot and cold. Like, we've had him for 10 years and he's the sort of player when you see his name in the team sheet, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Even though we've had him for 10 years, it's like, what is going on here? Like, that is the most bizarre thing ever. I mean, it feels like we just pay him for 52 weeks of the year so that we can have him for those 6 weeks between the start of the season and the transfer window closing.
Yep.
When we have the Champions League qualifiers. So it's like a running joke. Oh, Champions League qualifiers.
Which, you know, God, has he done? I mean, last 4 years, we've not got into the Champions League. So he's not even doing that job, really, at this point. You know, if you're paying him and it was a guaranteed Champions League qualifiers, then is it 4 years? Have I made that up?
Well, look, who was the next in line this year? It was Dane Murray.
Exactly. Yeah, you would be playing Bitton, of course.
Yeah, and Dane Murray literally came in. So, like, we're not. Was it Bitton got sent off or something? I can't remember.
Yes.
But it was a game Dane Murray and Welsh had to play together. So it's not like we're not choosing him because he's the best man. It's just last man standing.
Yeah, it's 100% last man standing.
Yeah.
But there you go. So maybe we'll do some sort of. I don't know if people know the TV show Last Man Standing, but with all the tribes people, but maybe we'll do that for his testimonial. Get him to do some mad obstacle courses and stuff.
We'll bring back the 120 players that he's played with itself. Whatever it is. But you know, Scotland are looking good shape for a playoff now. Denmark have qualified, so that's done.
Yep.
But the way the playoff works is the 10 runners up, which if we beat Moldova, we'll be one of them. Mm-hmm. So it's the 10 runners-up and the two highest group winners from the Nations League. One of them is Austria, and I can't remember who the other one is. So Austria, even though they're sitting in fourth, are going to be in the playoffs.
Right.
And I really can't remember who the other one is. I'm not even sure if it might actually still be up for grabs, but Austria are sitting in there. So what happens is you get 12 teams and it becomes three groups of four, straight knockout. BBC were saying it's seeded in the sense that we would get a home game.
Okay.
Against an unseeded team. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. I couldn't actually find any evidence to back that up, but that's what they're saying. So it's a straight knockout, four teams in each group, and three go through.
And three go through from each group?
No. One from each. So as
one from each, yeah.
So there's 12 teams in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have three pots of four,
mm-hmm.
three groups of four, whatever you want to call it, three knockouts of four. So it's like 3-4 team tournaments.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, say we draw whoever, like Sweden, and if we beat Sweden, then we go into play Russia in the final, and whoever wins that goes.
Yeah. I read something similar like that, including the Faroe Islands game, we had 5 games left. So that makes sense. That's how they did it. So obviously the Faroe Islands, Moldova, Denmark.
To qualify, then,
yeah, to qualify, yeah. So it's still a long road ahead, but I mean, we're getting there. Do you know what I mean? And I don't expect Scotland to do it easy either. It'll be a lot more 86th minute goals, I think, or I hope.
Penalty shootouts,
yeah, all of that stuff. What did you think of Turnbull not getting a game? Do you think that's fair with what Scotland has in the midfield and where Turnbull is at in his career?
That is exactly, yeah. That what you're saying is exactly what I thought, yes. Yeah, I think what he got was exactly where he is right now in his career and where Scotland is with their centre mids. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is David Turnbull better than Kenny McLean? Probably about equal, I would say. Mm-hmm. But David Turnbull is more of a prospect, so he's probably going to get a nod in that sense. But is he any better than McGregor, McTominay, Gilmore and John McGinn? Nah.
Yeah.
Not at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, and like if you're trying to hold on to a game, you're not going to bring him on. You might have brought him on late in the Faroes because he can crack one in, but yeah, I wouldn't have been bringing him on in that Israel game, put it that way.
No, me neither. I rate Turnbull, I like him, but he's still got a lot of growing to do, I think.
He got quite a bit of praise from Postecoglou recently. What was it he said? He basically said Turnbull has everything. Try to remember. He did it in this weird way that he said the only negative about Turnbull is that he needs to realize he has he doesn't realize he has unlimited potential. It was something like that. Like he was saying that he has his Turnbull, the one thing that Turnbull has to work on is realizing that he can do anything or something like that. I can't remember, some wishy-washy thing.
He's like that oh, Jesus. I don't know if people are into the boxing, but the Wilder Fury interviews before the game, Wilder was always saying, you have to think like a champion before you're a champion and all that stuff. And that's what he's not doing yet. He's not acting like he's the type of midfielder he might become one day.
Yeah.
His attitude, yeah.
But Postecoglou was implying he can be the best in the world. I'm like, oh, come on, rein in, mate.
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows these things?
Yeah,
good. I've not seen the rawness, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, how old is he now? 22, 20, something like that.
I think so. Yeah, mate. Yeah, actually, let's have a quick Google.
Because he was Young Player of the Year last year and 2 years ago. So it's just one of those ones. He's been around for a while. So it's funny because like if a player comes on the scene like Stephen Welsh is 22 and stuff. Debut, you're like kind of a young player just getting you start, and then if somebody's played 200 games or 100, I know he's not played 200 games, but if somebody's played like close to 100 games and they're 22, then that's, do you mean you viewed them differently even though they're the same age?
Yeah So he is 22, but I look, if he's gonna be the sort of midfielder that maybe Postecoglou's talking about, he has to get very good in the next 18 months, to be honest.
Yeah. And that's the kind of range you're looking at. Yeah.
Yeah. Before he's, because you want, you know, centre mid, maybe he's peaking, I don't know, around about 26, 27.
Yeah. And I think he has played close to 100 games, something like that already.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed he gets there. And I think as well, Abada, another one who's also got probably the minutes where he is at in his career. I actually don't know the Israeli team well, to be honest. I know some of the big names, but yeah. Didn't start for Scotland and 16 minutes for Moldova is probably about right. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I felt they could have maybe given him more against Moldova, but their front three are really settled. Really strong front three, the Boer, Solomon and Zahavi. If they're all fit, you're struggling again.
Yeah.
And they've got a few other guys that I can't really go into details about the players that would come in next, but certainly against Moldova, he was the next man up, not against Scotland though. But I guess they were holding on to it against Scotland rather than chasing it.
Well, yeah, Israel needed to win against Scotland, didn't they? So
yeah. So for against Scotland, they brought on Glazer instead. I think he's a defender. So yeah, so I guess he is technically the fourth in line if you're looking at the last two games.
Mm.
And for that front three, which is interesting.
Yeah, good for us. Obviously, for me, McGregor's in the Scotland midfield every single game, but I am genuinely glad that he got a rest against the Faroe Islands, to be honest.
Yeah, good for Celtic, but from what I heard, Scotland were shit, so I've not watched it yet. But
yeah, they kind of were, but I mean, at the end of the day, do you know what? Actually, if you watch the highlights against the Faroe Islands, we could have easily drawn or lost that game. There were a couple ones where we were really, you know, off the line scraping it sort of stuff. And we did lose it a bit in the midfield, but look, we got through it, and to be honest, that's what I really care about. To be honest, got the win, got the 3 points, and McGregor got a rest. So,
yep, and Turnbull.
Good for everyone. Yeah, and Turnbull. Yeah. So hopefully they come back refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah.
So that really brings us on to the other part of the world, our part of the world. The other game that was on.
Kyogo versus Rogic.
Yes.
Yeah, so shame Liam's not here to talk about this because he would definitely have watched it.
I was thinking the exact same thing, yep.
But the Japan manager was under pretty severe pressure after they lost 1-0 to Saudi Arabia. Kyogo only played 31 minutes and he played it on the left wing, and he was under severe criticism for that decision, apart from the fact that they lost to Saudi Arabia. He was getting both barrels for playing Kyogo or benching Kyogo and then putting him on the left wing when he came on. So then a few days later, chucks him on again for the last half hour against Australia, but this time he puts him up front and Kyogo forces a last minute winner against Australia.
Yes.
So it appears to have, if he hadn't scored that, the guy's probably out of job, because even with that win against Australia, Japan are still sitting in fourth place in their group, behind Saudi Arabia, Australia and Oman. The only people they're ahead of are China and Vietnam. So they're sitting level on points with Oman, basically. So they really, I think you need to finish top two in that group. I'm not 100% on that one. So they need to make some ground. They're 6 points behind Saudi, 3 behind Australia, but it's just started, so there's plenty of games to play.
Yeah.
Tam Rogic played 63 minutes in a 3-1 win against Oman, and then he played 82 minutes in the loss to Japan. But still, it's a weird one to have Kyogo just playing those 230 minutes. Happy that he didn't get injured, put it that way.
Yes, yeah, and well, I'm happy Rogic didn't get injured as well, to be honest, because it was one of those...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's always one of those ones, isn't it, where he gets injured. But for those that didn't watch the highlights or even the game of the Japan Australia game, I think the Japan second goal went down as an own goal against one of the Aussie defenders. But if it didn't come off the Australian, Kyogo was there. Do you know what I mean? It was one of those where it was either an own goal or Kyogo scored it. Which is, you know, again, good for international clout, I guess. I mean, obviously the Japanese know and love Kyogo, but it just means more and more attention to him from this side of the world.
Well, there's already these shitty rumours of him going to England, which are absolutely, like, they don't come from anywhere other than just internet rumours. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no, that's not coming out of any football team or agent. That's just somewhat, do you know where it started? First place I seen it anyway was just in some Southampton fan site. And I was like, oh my God. They're just doing this thing like, oh, where do we normally get players from? Here's the best player there. That's just clickbait shite. I mean, it's the most unimaginative thing you can do is just go to one of these teams that's one of your perceived feeder clubs and say who's the best player. Don't give a shit that he's only been there 5 minutes, you know.
No. Look, and I know Abada has got a lot of drama recently for saying that he would quite fancy playing in England. And I think that's perfectly fair for those aspirations.
Didn't he specifically say Liverpool, or did I?
Oh, I didn't read Liverpool. I mean, he's aiming high if that's where he wants to go. But
yeah, but I mean, I didn't actually read it. I just skimmed it. And what I took from it was that the headline was being misleading, and that he was kind of saying that he'd love to play for Liverpool rather than wants to go
play
to
in England. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it probably was something like that. But I don't think there's any. Let's just give, I don't know, devil's advocate here. Let's just say that the rumours are true and Kyogo has said somebody quite fancies playing in England once in his career. I don't think there's anything wrong with that for every player in the world to want to play in arguably one of the best leagues in Europe.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. How is it news? Do you know what I mean? How is that news?
How is that news? Yeah. And in fact, you could ask 98% of players in the world, what league would you fancy playing in if, you know, nothing was an obstacle? And they'd all probably say Premier League or La Liga. Do you know what I mean? That's just the matter of the fact that it is. Very, very rarely do you find a player who just wants to settle in Scotland and play nowhere else. Browns don't exist often much. You know what I mean? There's not that sort of
well, there's also the fact if Scott Brown hadn't had his injuries at crucial times, he might have been gone as well. And
exactly.
I think we're just in a different age now. Do you know what I mean? When people like Kieran Tierney are going, then, you know, there's nobody more Celtic than Kieran Tierney. And if they need to go down to realise their ambitions, then that's just the reality of it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. Yeah. So, yes, I think I agree. I think it's complete and utter clickbait nonsense because he's been here for 5 minutes. But let's just say if it was true, I have no hard feelings for Kyogo if he has aspirations higher than playing in the Scottish League. That's it.
Yeah. The only players that stay this long are players that have setbacks like Rogic, Brown, or players that are just bang average like Nyarbitton.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And rarely do you get a player who, like Larsson, that just wants to stick around. And it was a different era then as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Celtic were up with those. Playing for Celtic was probably comparable to playing with just now, maybe a Leicester or somebody, or an Everton.
I had to put it even higher.
Probably, it
would have been like a fourth place in England at that time.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably true. So, you know, we're not in those times anymore. So
certainly not.
But yes, and I thought Rogic played well in both games from the highlights that I saw. I think he's, in good positions. He missed some probably good sitters. But I thought overall he played well for Australia.
Yeah, look, when he's fit, he's a key man. It's him and Aaron Moy, who's currently in semi-retirement in China. You know, who else is there, really? It's people like Martin Boyle are getting a game for Australia, and Suter, which I forget which Suter.
One of them.
One of the Suters is, you know. So it's certainly not the golden generation anymore. People like Tom Rogic are your big names, you know.
Yeah. Now, look, this is a slight tangent, but whatever happened to Daniel Arzani? Is he in around the Australian team, or is he just...
Don't believe so. The last I heard, he was probably on loan from some Man City group. Didn't he get bombed out of a loan last year? Let me check. He is...
God, he's even got... I can't even play for us. He's played for all of what, 15 minutes, 20 minutes for us, to be honest. But
yeah, he's currently at Lommel. I don't even know what country Lommel are from.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
That's Belgium, but it looks like Belgium B.
Yeah, right. Wow. Belgium. Okay.
Yeah, so not
quite the heights we thought he was going to be.
Yeah, certainly not yet, anyway. Because how old is he now? He would be.
Well, he came to us as a teenager, so he must be getting on now.
22 now.
Yeah.
So he played 4 games last year for Aarhus, and I think they're in, is that Sweden? AGF Aarhus?
Yeah.
No,
sure.
Denmark, sorry.
Yeah.
4 games the year before for Utrecht, 6 games the year before for Utrecht B team. He's played like 20 games since he left us, and that was in 2020. Well, on the plus side, Gary Caldwell is his manager now.
Oh, yeah. Right, there you go.
Not at Lamel, but Gary Caldwell's the lone player manager at Man City.
At Man City, yeah. Okay, right. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, you know, look, maybe he's... Oh, I don't know if he's one for the future, but for the Australian national team. But yeah, he had came with a lot of promise and didn't really do much, to be honest.
There was one... there's a Perth Glory player who was just named in the... You know, they have that Guardian top 50 youngsters thing.
Yeah.
I didn't write down the name, unfortunately, or commit it to memory, but that was that might be one as well.
That would be one that Jared would know probably by heart.
Well, it's one that's not even in, so usually the it's like players that are 15-16, so it's not really, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's like they take a proper flyer at it, like it's players, they're aiming for 16-year-olds when they do the Guardian list. So it's really, I mean, we just signed Daniel Sturridge, actually. I don't know if you caught that.
Who did? The Perth Glory?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. So I don't know when the season starts, but he's just signed.
Sturridge went to Perth Glory? Bloody hell.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing before, but that's what he's doing there.
Well, I mean, if Perth Glory doesn't win the league, then what the hell are they doing, to be honest?
We didn't do so well last year, mate. We didn't even make the finals last year.
Bloody hell. Well, whoever put through that deal deserves some sort of medal or bonus or something.
Yeah.
That's good for Aussie football, to be honest. It's a big name.
Yeah, I'm not even sure who's left, and you know, I'm not sure what the squad's like. I just know that Daniel Sturridge is in.
Bloody hell. There you go. Well, there you go. So somebody to look out for in Aussie football, if anybody wants to watch it. Or soccer, I should say. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up the Celtic players in the internationals that played for the first team men's or didn't play for the first team for some of them. So now I'll let you, Sean, sort of give us the highlights for the B teams and the women's results and stuff.
Yep. Okay, so yeah, I just did a bit of a longer write-up because there's no first team. Mm-hmm. So the B team in the last, I've had a few games in a row, and the teams had a different makeup in recent weeks, and I'm not really sure why. Players like Shaw, Urugidi, Lawal, Oluwayemi, the goalkeeper, Brooks, Vata have all not played in the last three games. Not clear why. Moffat has still been playing, so I don't know if it's a combination of international call-ups and injuries, because obviously Vata was called up, but people like Liam Shaw wouldn't have been, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there. They lost 1-0 to both East Stirling and to Spartans. Spartans was a last-minute winner. But again, it was looking like a more inexperienced and younger B team. So, and they are both above us in the table. And then we more recently beat Gretna 1-0 with a goal from Ben Wiley. And again, Gretna are kind of struggling, so not sure that's too much to celebrate. We're currently bang on mid-table, sitting 9th. 17 points off the top with 4 games in hand, but obviously comfortably clear of the bottom team on 0. And no game this week, but on the 25th, on 30th of October, there's a doubleheader against the Cumbernauld Colts, home and away. I don't know how that's worked out. It must be the midpoint or something. We're doing a flip over.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm really not sure why the first 11 has really changed so much. It's weird.
I honestly don't get it. I mean, maybe somebody who's listening could explain it and spell it out, but I was under the impression that the B team lineup that you submitted couldn't change. So that was it. So you couldn't have players from the B team coming up and playing for the first team. You couldn't swap around, you know, from the reserves or whatever it was and get them to stick around. I was under the impression it was just fixed, but yeah, maybe there are some laws in there or bylaws that allow for injuries and call-ups and stuff just to fill the numbers out. But yeah, I mean, look,
maybe they were called up to train with the leftovers from the internationals.
Yeah, well, quite
maybe
possibly.
If they're training with the first team, then they can't. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a weird one. And it seems like Urugidi's slipped down into the B team. And
wow. If you've seen him play for the B team,
he's not even there. Yeah. That's what I hear. I think he's going to be, who is that lad that we signed? I think it was from City.
Kundai Benyu. He wasn't from City though. It was from Ipswich.
Ipswich, was it, right? There you go. I think he's going to be another Ben Yu, to be honest.
I think so. He looks like one of the ones that if he raises his game, he might make a career out of bouncing around some lower division, some lower table Scottish teams, you know, like make a career at Partick Thistle type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, quite possibly. And that's okay. You know, we didn't risk or gamble much on him. So I think it was less than a million or something, a couple hundred thousand. So
yeah.
These things happen, I guess. And I guess that's a measurable risk. This is something I was thinking about recently. Do we think Moffitt's really coming on to a good game? Do we see him in around the first team maybe next season, even maybe the second half of this season?
I'd like to see him. We've not really had the chance to see him up against men yet. Against top flight men, I should say. Because obviously they're playing against adults and the Bees.
And he's doing a couple of those pre's as well, pre-season games where he played.
Yeah, and not even that. I'd also like to see him on grass. It's pretty shitty. Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't really get to judge them right on the AstroTurf. I'd like to see more of him. But yeah, I'd also like to see him develop a bit more physically. He's still looking a bit kind of lightweight.
Bit young.
Yeah. I mean, his face doesn't look young, but he just looks light.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he would like get bounced or break easily.
Needs a bit of the Ryan Christie treatment. Go up and beef up in Aberdeen or something and then come down again.
Yeah, because look what happened to Karamoko and Mikey Johnson in preseason when they were playing against men.
Yeah.
Out for 3 months, 4 months, you know. And
that's the problem, isn't it? They just need to... And, I mean, really, again, this is a wider issue, but, I mean, we need better sports scientists in and better physios or just a wider physio team to make sure that those things don't happen as often, I guess.
Yep.
Just put them on a training plan saying you need to put on 10 kilos of muscle by next season or something.
I think they discourage that before players have finished growing.
You probably would. Yeah.
Because I think that's why Nadal fucked up his knees, you know, the tennis player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, I think that's the way. I think that's what happened with Karamoko as well. They're like, oh, his brother shot up at this age, so we don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how old is Dembele now? He must be getting past... He must have finished growing by now, surely.
No, I think he's only 18. Is that wrong?
Do you not stop growing? I don't know.
No, I mean, some people hit growth spurts at that part of their life, is what I mean.
Bloody hell. There you go.
Yeah. It's genetic, you know.
Like, yeah, well...
So that's why they were saying they looked at his brother and said, you know...
Let's just wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's we want to protect the players, even if it's not to benefit Celtic. But, you know, these are their careers we're talking about. So
there you go.
I would
18 and a half.
Yeah, right, cool. I'd like to see him. Maybe if some of the games at the end of the season, or I don't know, maybe some of the other games that aren't as crucial. I don't know. Some of the early cup games, I'd like to see him, see what he's like a bit more. 15, 20 minutes or something. I think he'd be one for the future. I think he's a good player.
Yeah. The women had back-to-back 6-0 wins. There was no real players to focus on when it was six different goal scorers. Currently third in the league, tied with Glasgow City and 2 points behind Sevco, who have won 6 from 6. And one thing to note was one of the games was the 200th appearance for Kelly Clark, who did Celtic TV for the last couple of years. And this weekend, they've got Spartans at home and then Sevco at the end of the month. So it's very tight at the top. They've only had that one draw against Glasgow City. So apart from that, Celtic, Sevco and Glasgow City have won every game. So it's going to be a close one there, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, drawing at the moment with Glasgow City is a fantastic... I mean, they beat them recently, didn't they, Celtic?
Well, 2-2 this season. I don't know about last year.
Maybe that was the result I was thinking of. But, I mean, that's good. I mean, obviously, season's still got to go on and stuff. But, fingers crossed the women win the league. That'd be a brilliant result for them, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll celebrate that.
100%. So, yes, and good to see Kelly Clark getting her 200th appearance.
Yeah, she's not the best at the TV, but... you know.
No, but there's a lot of people that do Celtic TV that aren't necessarily the best as well.
Yeah. But yes, good for her. Good for more.
Yes. All right. Well, yeah, we'll obviously keep everybody updated with the B team and the women's results as they develop. So on to the next sort of discussion point, which seemed to be rattling around social media the last week, which was some of Roger Mitchell's, who, for those that don't know, is one of the ex-SBL executive chiefs, I don't know, board member, who is a mad Celtic fan, who currently lives in Italy, I believe. Might be wrong there.
I think it's Italy.
Who has come out saying that he would be very interested in buying Celtic, becoming the majority shareholder, not the largest share. Oh, my mic gone there. No, not the largest shareholder, but the majority one. So basically, what Desmond is, but he is not going to do that in any. He's not going to do that anytime soon because Desmond is not somebody he wants to work with. Apparently, he's a really difficult person to be around, and he's not going to do it. So, this is sort of coming along some of the lines of what Conor McGregor, the UFC fighter, said recently as well, which he was interested in buying Celtic recently, but I think quote unquote people in and around Celtic wouldn't have made it easy for him. What do we think? Do we think that this is sort of, are we seeing a time that maybe Desmond is era is finishing, especially with Lawwell moving on and some of the old, apparently Bankia's moving on and stuff. Are we seeing a bit of a regime change overall, or do we want somebody like Roger Mitchell? Some of his comments have been quite interesting.
It's a weird one because, we're being financially secure for so long now. Even though Dermot Desmond doesn't really put any money into the, I think apart from like maybe the odd Roy Keane, Robbie Keane, James McCarthy signings, he doesn't really chuck any extra money our way. What he does do though is get the jobs for the boys with all the Irish lads, like your Damien Duffs and people and the boy from Man City that was linked and all that sort of thing. The Conor McGregor one as well.
It was a nonsense, but it was just one of those things which was, there's people around who are ready to buy somebody, a team like Celtic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't see Desmond selling anytime soon. And, unless he's actually going to, once he steps away from his business empire, maybe. Like, I think he just sees it as part of his business empire. So unless he's planning to retire, or die, then I don't think he's going to sell up. Yeah. And even then, his son might pick up at that point because his son's quite relatively involved as well. I don't know, man. Like, I think that's the thing about it, isn't it?
It could
stay in the family. It could become like the Kellys.
It'd be horrendous if that happened. I think one of the interesting things that Mitchell said was that it wouldn't be impossible for Desmond to stick around. This is what he was saying, which was why he was like, this is how somebody would do it, right? Now, Desmond owns the largest slice of the pie, right? I think it's like 30% or something that he owns. Mm-hmm. But there's some big investment firms that own the other large slices, the 12, 15, 18% that are kicking about. Now, what Roger Mitchell basically said was it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility where somebody could come along and buy out those investment firms. Then they would own 35%, outdoing Desmond. And that's how you'd get into becoming the owner of or the largest majority shareholder of Celtic. Now, that's interesting. He basically said he'd never do that because he thinks Desmond's a prick. But so he's never going to do it. And he also came out and said that maybe the majority of Celtic fans wouldn't want him in and around as well because he would happily, quote unquote, trade all the trophies for the last 16 of the Champions League every year. Which is an interesting comment to make.
Well, look, if you're making it to the last 16 of Champions League, the trophies follow.
And that's my opinion. I think the measuring stick is European football, Champions League football. I think if you're consistently in the Champions League that often with all of that money, I think all the trophies immediately come. But would you trade? Well, I mean, not first of all, would you trade short-term success for long-term success. Maybe not winning the league or winning any trophies for a wee while. And just
I think anyone would if there was a guarantee, but there's no guarantees is the problem.
Yeah. And I think maybe yourself and myself would probably do that, but I don't know if the majority of Celtic fans would have that.
Well, for guaranteed long-term, but there's no guarantees. That's the problem.
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, maybe the development recently with, you know, it's the top two teams that can get through into the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, top two teams get a shot at qualifying.
Get a shot, yeah.
Yeah. Or no, the one goes in, but yeah, the second one gets a kind of, ha-ha, thanks for showing up. Try.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I do not even consider that second place as Champions League qualification. It's more of a three chances at qualifying for Europe kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the way I view it. Like, there was no, I had no concept that we were going to qualify this year when we went into those qualifiers. I don't know. Maybe it's different next year, settled team, whatever. I don't know. But
like, yeah. Fingers crossed. And that's exactly what I hope. But yeah, I mean, look, it's an interesting time. I think there was another fan media outlet that questioned him on it on Twitter. And this is what's basically been floating around. And I think it's interesting. And I think what's really interesting is there are people that have a different vision, or at least a vision, a sort of communicated vision of what they want out if they were to be the owners of Celtic or the CEO. Mm-hmm. And moving forward now, and maybe this is coming out with the Mackay resignation and all that stuff. And what concerns me is basically there's people that are happy and have a vision and would easily slot in, but they're not going to do it anytime soon. They've basically communicated if somebody like Desmond is still around.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like, Roger Mitchell thinks outside the box. He's, I like his, the way, I mean, I don't agree with everything he says and does, but I like that he just thinks differently. And it's almost like he's putting effort sometimes into being contrary, but that's okay. As long as you're not the only man in charge. You know what I mean? If you're a one man show and you're wanting to be contrary, then that's going to be counterproductive. But if you're part of a board and offering different perspectives, then that's a very positive thing, I think. I'd love to see him on the board. Would I want him all over in charge? Not sure, to be honest, but I think he'd be a good addition to the background running of the club.
I agree. And he's he's completely rolled it out anytime soon, unfortunately, but there we go. That's it's tough times ahead, I think, as far as the top heavy stuff goes at Celtic.
That's like those ones like David Moyes who, I'd like to be Scotland manager in the future, but not anytime soon. And then just, it never, do you know what I mean?
It never happens.
Basically, he's just deflecting the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody ever expects David Moyes to be Scotland manager now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, God, I wouldn't want that anyway. All right. Well, we'll move on. Just thought it'd be interesting to talk about that. So we'll move on to some of the previews for the games coming up. The two crucial ones. I'm going to butcher this bloody name. I remember. So we got Celtic and Motherwell coming up in the league. And then we got Celtic and I'm just going to say Ferencváros. Is that the best way of saying that?
In the Euro League. It's like a shh in the middle.
A shush. Yeah, it's the shush bit there.
Ferencváros.
Ferencváros. Yeah.
Ferencváros.
Yeah. We got them in the Europa League. So what do we think? How are we going to fare in these two next games?
Is it the home game? I think it is. Ferencváros, it is.
I think so, yes.
Home then away. That's right, isn't it? Motherwell. I didn't even check if it's Saturday or Sunday. Please be Saturday. I don't remember the last time we had a Saturday game. It's driving me mental. Because even when we had like that League Cup game against Raith Rovers, they still papped us onto just, do you know what I mean? Oh, God, that is Saturday. Whew, Saturday, 3 o'clock. So I can actually enjoy that one this weekend. Motherwell are doing well. They lost to Hearts in their last game, but apart from that, they've been, you know, they're top six, so they're not tanking it and not doing poorly by any means. They're ahead of us in the table. They drew at Ibrox and they're coming to Celtic Park now, so we can't take it for granted. We need to be playing our best, really, even though it is a home game.
And they're above us in the league, remember?
Yeah, 1 point. Yeah. So, I don't know, it depends on other results, but if we beat them, we can jump to third if the Hibs, Motherwell and Dundee United drop points. But yeah, we're out of touch with Rangers and Hearts at the moment. Mm-hmm. Disappointing. Yeah. I mean, we can't drop to seventh. We can't go any lower, really, even unless we lose by 20 goals. Yeah. Does Jack and Marcus get a game? That's what I want to know.
You know, let's just say Giacomakis gets a game. Would you have him? Do you give Kyogo a rest, or do you play maybe a 3-5-2 or a 4-4-2?
I think you do give Kyogo a rest. Yeah, put him on the bench. You know, like
yeah.
I think he's just going to be jet lagged. I think you do that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best.
I mean, we're saying that, and we've never seen Giacomakis play. But you know, that's even that's if it's a risk, isn't it? I'd even put a Yeti in and rest Kyogo. And, you know, if we're 2-0 up after an hour, fine, whatever. You can either give Kyogo a stretch or just keep him on the bench, you know, no pressure. But yeah, Turnbull starts, obviously. He's raring to go. McCarthy, maybe. Who else? McGregor should be okay. Yeah, I'd say most people should be ready to go. They've not done too much in the international break. The only ones that have really put a lot of minutes in was Nir Bitton and
Rogic. Would we be playing in for a game like this, though? We really probably wouldn't, would we?
So I guess the ones that drop out are Bitton and Rogic, the ones that have played the most international minutes anyway.
We also have a fair few injuries coming back.
Yeah, they're not going to come back this weekend, though.
Do you not think they'd come back this weekend? No.
Nah. Maybe on the bench, but they're certainly not going to crack the starting 11.
So we have the long-anticipated return of Julian coming up soon. Forrest should be back in... Who else was it? I think Mikey Johnson.
Yep. And
who's probably not going to start. But
there was another one. I said that it started, so I forgot again. Juranovic,
that's right. Juranovic. And he's probably... I mean, he might come straight back in.
Yeah, he could, actually, yeah.
Yeah. If Taylor's still not... If Taylor's still not fit, then he probably might. He probably come in at sort of the right back position, left back position, and then have Ralston on the other side. I mean, look, I would I put Julian straight back in? Probably not. If he is fit and maybe playing for the last 20 minutes to get his match fitness back up, and that probably goes the same for Forrest as well. But we really need to be winning this game, to be honest.
Oh, every game's a must-win right now.
Yeah, it really is. That we not even draws is a loss.
Yeah, we're too far behind. We need to have a run. You know, we need to get into like a 8-9 at least game winning run, and you know, two home games in the league coming up, or three home. We're away to Motherwell. Why did I think we were at home?
We're at home to Zsuzs Ferencváros.
Also, we're away to Motherwell, so that's a bit... Okay, that changes the thinking. Okay, maybe Rogic does need to play then. I don't know why I thought we were at home. Away to Motherwell. That's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
That's your standard one each game.
Oh, I mean, there's been a couple of games we've played away to Motherwell where it's been really back and forth for the first 35 minutes and then Celtic have just blown them away. So I'm thinking of like the 5-2 games... on the like, I hope it's something like that. I mean, I don't see us to that level at the moment, but we need to come out. We need to come out. We need to play well.
The way things are at the moment, it feels more like we go 1-0 down and then equalize late. That's the way it feels like to me. Like that, the one where it almost stopped the invincible run. I don't know if you remember that, where we got the penalty.
No, I don't remember that. But yeah, we can't be doing stuff like that, unfortunately. Oh. And it puts... look, as much as we've discussed this at length before about this season being more of a growth and development season, it puts a lot of pressure on Postecoglou, which is, you know, I personally believe unfounded at this point. But it will. The media will jump on him, and some of the, you know, the minority of Celtic fans will be the same.
Yeah.
Must win.
Definitely.
And
Ferencváros, yes.
Yeah.
If we have any hope of progressing from the group, that's obviously a must win, but I'm not really, I don't know. I'm kind of taking it as one game at a time rather than, like, Leverkusen and Betis are both on 6 points each. If we basically need to take 6 points off Ferencváros if we want to go through or have a chance of going through, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you see us getting 3 points? Never mind six.
Nah, not at this point. I really don't see it happening. I mean, look, I think we played well against Real Betis, even though we got beat. And I think the Leverkusen game probably flattered them quite a lot with the result. I think there were times that we were dominating well. So there's been flashes in both of those games that you could see back to the old Celtic strengths and stuff. But it's just not consistent enough over 90 minutes. So I think it's going to be a tough one. But we really, look, I think for the Europa League, I think we're all probably saying it's just good to be in the group stages, but we're not getting through it this year. So yeah, and we probably won't have Europe. I mean, my personal opinion, we have European football after Christmas. I just don't think it's happening. But I'd like to see us get as many points as we can out of that, to be honest. Maybe, I don't know, ending on 5 or 6 points would be good.
Yeah, get a couple of win bonuses, keep the coefficient up.
Yeah, exactly, that type of stuff. Yeah, that's about it. That sort of wraps us up, to be honest. I think that's probably... Yeah. Unless there's anything else you want to add?
No, I didn't think we'd get to an hour and a week with no games, but there
we go. Yeah, we managed to drag it out a bit, which is good. I guess we'll just go off all our social media stuff. If you'd like to participate or comment on any of the posts or episodes, we've got groups on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We've got a YouTube channel that's starting up. Please subscribe to that if you enjoy listening to this. That would help us a lot. We have our website, CelticDownUnder.com, which has articles, I think at this point, almost a day, every day at the moment. But we're definitely getting there. That's a growing medium for us. And we have a couple of merchandise things as well on the Facebook group and also the website if you wanted to check that out. So yeah, that leaves us to the end. Just our final thoughts, Sean.
Yeah, my final thought is Clive Palmer can fuck off. If you're from WA, you'll understand that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know this is a final thought, but for those that don't know Clive Palmer, he's the lunatic who's building Titanic 2.
Is that what he's doing? Well, he's also taken the WA to court for various things and try to open our borders up and stuff like that.
Is he? Yeah. Well, he can fuck off. my final thought, and this is for all the musos out there, that Greta Van Fleet are just the TikTok version of Led Zeppelin.
I don't understand that riff.
I'll leave it there because that is a final thought. check Greta Van Fleet out on Spotify and you'll know what I mean.
I don't have Spotify. I don't have TikTok. Do they exist elsewhere?
Yeah, YouTube and stuff. They're quite big. But
okay, cool. There you go.
Yes. Anyway, that leaves us to it. Thanks for listening, everyone, and hail, hail.
Hail, hail.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.